In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Peter and his fellow disciples had been with Jesus now for some time. They had heard his preaching and witnessed his ministry and the care of souls. And Jesus receives a question from Peter, and that question really gets at the heart of Jesus' ministry. How often shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Peter and his fellow disciples witnessed how liberally Jesus forgave sin. But behind Peter's question is the notion that no matter how full and rich this forgiveness is, surely there has to be some limit. How often shall I forgive? Up to seven times? But Jesus' reply, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven, indicates that there is no limit. Because the forgiveness of sins that we have received from our Lord and that we are privileged as the baptized faithful to extend to one another and even to those who do not know Christ is anchored in the gift of God's grace in Jesus' atoning sacrifice for the whole world upon the cross. The forgiveness of sins as a free gift of God's grace apart from my merit or worthiness is not only the comfort of my soul, it's the reason that I became a pastor. That others might know this forgiveness, that they might rejoice in it, and that they might live in it. The forgiveness of sins, for Jesus' sake, is at the center of the Holy Spirit's work for us in the third article of the Creed. Remember the Catechism? He forgives all my sins. In this Christian church, he forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers in Christ. Today's parable of the unmerciful servant is a parable about God's forgiveness in Jesus. And the forgiveness that you and I are privileged to share with one another, and the forgiveness which is the source of well-being, of peace, of true contentment and joy under the cross of affliction in the Christian's life. What is the forgiveness of sins? The question itself seems unnecessary to ask, but there's often a lot of confusion about the forgiveness of sins and what it really is. Some think that forgiveness means that the sin that a person has committed doesn't matter. Not true. Sin always mattered. If it didn't matter, it would not have cost the blood of the Son of God in his death upon the cross to make atonement for that sin. Some think if I forgive sins, it means that whatever the person did is okay. That's not true either. It's never just okay. Again, the blood of Christ, the Son of God, was shed in our place for the sins of the whole world. It cost plenty. What is forgiveness? To understand the forgiveness of sins, one must acknowledge that forgiveness acknowledges the reality of sin. In other words, if I don't believe and acknowledge and confess the depravity of my own sinful nature and of my own sin, I have no capacity either to receive the forgiveness of sins from my Lord or to extend his forgiveness to others. So the faith in one's own sin, the acknowledgement and confession of it is critical. We sin against God, which means we don't love him, and we sin against one another, which means at its heart, not simply the breaking of rules, mores, and so forth, but we've offended love, loving the neighbor in place of oneself. So sin is not okay. Sin nailed Jesus to the cross. According to the judgment of God's law, we deserve temporal death and eternal damnation. The law demands restitution of the lawbreaker. God's law is good as it describes what it is to love God, to be willing to let go of everything rather than lose him, and to love the neighbor in place of oneself. So this is what trespass is. We trespass the call to love God and to love the neighbor. It is the failure to love God and the failure to sacrifice oneself for another. That's why sin is evil, because it offends the very love which is God's by nature. A love which is manifest in its fullest expression in Jesus' suffering and death upon the cross. The sinner makes a god out of himself. This is characteristic of our sinful flesh, the old Adam in each one of us, even as Christians. The false god of self is always full of pride, and because of that, it can't let go of any real or imagined infractions that someone might perpetrate against us. So we see this evil in the unmerciful servant. He is wicked because he had received the forgiveness of his master who had compassion on him. And then, in jealousy and spite and envy, he refuses to forgive his fellow sinner. He played God and insisted that his fellow servant be condemned. This helps us understand what forgiveness really is. Forgiveness means that punishment, condemnation, is taken away. And it's taken away because that condemnation and that judgment and punishment that the law demanded was satisfied by Jesus' atoning sacrifice, the ultimate expression of love, where he is willing to pay the price in our stead that we might live. That's love. In the parable of the unmerciful servant, the king represents God. The servant who was brought to him owed him, according to the text, 10,000 talents. That's about 600,000 times a year's salary. Well, it's no way he could pay it. It's impossible. The king had compassion and forgave him the debt. The king took away the punishment that the servant deserved. This is what God has done for us in Jesus. It is not that forgiveness is never mind, doesn't matter. It is rooted in Jesus taking the punishment for our sin in love for our soul's salvation. The condemnation of hell that you and I deserve fell upon him. His suffering and death, his condemnation, it is all done in our place. This helps us understand what forgiveness means. When you and I are called, as Jesus does throughout the Gospels, to forgive those who have sinned against us, we are called to let go of any rights or any claim or insistence that they be condemned. We are called to this because this is what God in Christ has done for each one of us. Since Jesus was condemned to the death of the cross in payment for our sin, how can we hold the sins of others against them? Not only that, but the holding on to a grudge, the bearing the resentment, gives us no peace in this life. And it runs the risk as we find at the end of the parable, of the utter loss of faith in Christ entirely and the condemnation of hell. Forgiveness, let me make it clear, does not mean that we welcome the rapist or murderer into our home. Forgiveness does not mean that a wife who has been abused by her husband must be reconciled to him in all cases. But it does mean that we let go of the right to punish, the right to condemn, the right to demand the pound of flesh. Forgiveness means that we are called to let go of hatred and every desire to take revenge against those who have hurt us, and to commend them to God. It is true that God's forgiveness received in repentant faith reconciles us to God. But in this life, not every human relationship can necessarily be restored. For example, there is a difference between a Christian parent who will no longer allow a grown child to live with mom and dad anymore because that grown child has become irresponsible and it's doing nothing to truly help and benefit them. There's a difference between that and the parent who disowns her child, refusing to pray for her and wishing that that child never was born. The former is good and proper, and it's an act of love. The latter is evil and a denial of one's faith in Christ. It is why we pray, not only for our enemies outside the church, but it is also why we pray for one another within the church, that above all things, we live in the forgiveness of sins. We walk in it. We don't hold grudges against one another. And when we're threatened in this way, it becomes the subject matter of our confession before God and before our pastor and the subject matter of our prayers. Forgiveness does not mean that what someone has done is okay, nor does it mean that our relationship with them will necessarily be restored. For some of this, we must wait till the resurrection on the last day. As a future minister of the gospel, Jesus taught Peter that he was to forgive the sins of a penitent sinner without limit. It applied to him as a future minister, and it applies to each one of us as Christians, the call to let go of sin. But it probably wasn't until he was restored, after having denied his Lord and run out of the courtyard of the high priest weeping bitter tears, that he understood the depth of that forgiveness, and that that forgiveness transformed his life as a Christian and an apostle to live in that forgiveness for others. Jesus tells the parable of the unmerciful servant because he knows, like Peter and others, that we have difficulty letting go of the sins of others. Our flesh wars against our faith in Christ, and we are tempted to withhold forgiveness. Remember where we began. It is only when we come to know and believe in the depth of our sin that we can come to know and believe and trust in, above all things, the grace of God in Jesus' forgiveness. So we pray at the center of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those in our letting go of sin with one another. When we gather here before the altar of the Lord, kneeling together, it is an act of letting go of the grudges and the hurts and the sins that we may have committed against one another, to receive the body broken and the blood shed for our forgiveness. It is called the Feast of Love. because we bask in and live from the love of God in Christ. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Notice the plural pronouns. It's a corporate activity. It's part of the liturgical fabric of the church, the body of Christ. And we remember Luther's words. We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them. But we ask that he would give them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. And then he adds, so we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who have sinned against us. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.